Well, thank you guys again for the opportunity to speak here again another year. It is really a blessing to be back at Aletheia, and it does just feel like home being here. We got multiple homes. Sometimes people ask me, do you feel like home when you're back in Salina? I do feel like home. I feel like home in the Dominican. I feel like home in Salina. I feel like home back in Archbold where I grew up. Definitely am blessed to be able to be a part of this congregation in this way. We haven't been presently apart for 10 years, but as we get to come back and as we get to see you guys, as you come and send your children to come as interns and to send groups and all that support, we do get to be a part of Aletheia in that way. And it was a great reminder this morning of just how much I have to be thankful for. As Dawn shared about what's going on everywhere, you know, this year was a difficult year for a lot of people. I know this church has gone through difficult situations over this last year. And it was a difficult year. It was a difficult year for freedom. I know you guys are aware of things that went on there for us, and it was difficult. We had to learn a lot of lessons. And this morning, I'd like to briefly share with you some of those lessons that I've learned this year. Some of the things that the Lord has been teaching me, specifically the importance of intimacy with Him and how that really impacts three major areas of our lives. So when we started Freedom, we started with just 8 adult missionaries. This was back in 2011. Actually, in June of 2011, we just completed. There you go. Now you'll be right up with me. I know. You got it. But we started with just 8 adult missionaries, and now we're up to 38 adult missionaries. In January 2012, we started a school with just 20 three-year-olds. Those three-year-olds are now in 7th grade, and we have over 600 students at Freedom. It's been a lot of really hard work, a lot of long days, some tears, some blood, a lot of sweat. But the fruit, you know, has always been forming on the trees. And so it's very easy for 9 years to just keep plugging along as the fruit was forming. It's easy when things are going well, you know. Going into our 10th year, 2021 has brought change to Freedom that took us all by surprise. First, COVID, government restrictions shut down the school, our main tool that we were using for discipleship. And that happened in March of 2020. We didn't reopen until 15 months later. During that time, we scrambled to find ways to reach our students through tutoring sessions and small VBS operations, community service events, evangelistic outreach events. We also tried to do continual homeschool for our MK students, which we have 30 of them in a elementary level, which I got involved with as well. I taught logic and science for 8 weeks there, U.S. history for 32 weeks. So I know a lot more about U.S. history than I used to, which was nice. It's fun. I also did tutoring sessions with our Freedom students and taught American missionaries and interns beginner Spanish course. So I was kind of all over the board, just finding things to do to stay busy, to continue to invest in people. Katie worked with her cleaning staff, maintaining the school, as well as fixing different processes that needed improving, training and discipling her staff. She even worked in construction, doing a lot of finishing work in the new apartment building that we were putting up for a couple months. She is an expert painter, so she did well there. For both of us, it was really about being flexible and just being willing to work and go wherever God provided the opportunity. That was 2020 for us. To be sure, last year brought many trials as cleverly disguised opportunities to trust the Lord. Our president at Freedom was forced to leave, as you guys know, and this shocked our Freedom community. It really did. It was a shock, and it was difficult. It caused a significant amount of healing to have to take place. Without kids in the school, we've seen a couple 12-year-old girls get involved in marriages, leave school, leave their studies altogether. We saw many students giving into the pressures of the world that most certainly probably would not have happened if they had had godly influences there on a daily basis, 7-8 hours a day in their life. So it has no doubt brought us and our Freedom community, each individually, into a more intimate relationship from the Lord. That's what trials do, right? When we are sent through trials like this year, and I know your church has been through these types of trials, it tends to expose our personal imbalances that we have in our life, our personal weaknesses, kind of our weak points, right? The weakest chain in our link. Those trials tend to expose where we're weak. You know, if you are a runner or you do sports, when your muscles wear out, that shock starts to go to the tendon. And if you got a weak tendon, you're going to have problems. And that's basically what happens when you go through serious extended times of trials. That wears on you. And where you have weak points, where you have imbalances in your life, those are going to break. And that's what trials do. They stretch us and teach us, but they can produce perseverance and joy and peace and patience and all the fruits of the spirits as well. But how do we do that? During this time, the Lord has really been teaching me about intimacy with Him and how that applies to balancing three key aspects in our lives. And I want to talk about those three key aspects today. Those three of these key aspects are knowledge, physical, and spiritual. You can talk about knowledge as like mind and soul. You can say the body is, the physical is our body. Okay. And our spiritual, I'm defining as our emotional and our spiritual connection with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I do believe that it would be wrong to think about these three areas in like percentages, like 33, 33, and 33%. Okay? I think what we're really looking at here is something that is all of them at the same time. Maybe like you would think of the Trinity, I don't know. But it's a complete package. It's not one or the other or separated into three parts. As one goes down, it affects the other. So if you look at the physical, for example, take food. What you eat affects how you feel. How you feel affects how you think and act. Yeah, have you ever heard of the term hangry? Yeah, I have that problem, right? When you get hungry and your physical body is saying, "I need food," that plays on your emotions, plays on the way that you act, the way that you respond to things. Maybe I'm the only person. Fasting is a physical action. This was designed to affect our spiritual life and our focus. Okay, exercise and that has actually proven to affect our mood because we were created this way. A Harvard study showed in 2019 that there was a 26% decrease in the odds for becoming depressed for each major increase in physical activity. So our physical activity, our exercise, actually completely directly impacts our mental focus, even depression. Or look at truth or knowledge. What we believe shapes our worldview. You guys talk about that a lot here at Aletheia, I know. What we believe about God impacts what we think that God believes about us. knowing God's word is enormously critical to living a life that God created you to live. You got to know the right things. So you got to treat your body the right way. You got to know the right things. Thirdly, we look at the spiritual. And here I'm talking about our emotional and intimate connection with the Lord. This is prayer. This is your personal time. This is maybe done with praise songs. Your connection to the source. This is your spiritual and emotional connection. Now, as you neglect one or more of these areas in your life, you're essentially opening up the potential for a foothold for Satan in your life to slip in there and cause that little pet dragon that you have to grow into something that can become even uncontrollable. And we all have those. So what should I do? What should you do? Well, we can evaluate how we're doing on these things by how we respond to small everyday tasks, small everyday events. For example, someone makes a negative comment about you. Okay? How do you find yourself responding to that? Does that bother you? Do you start to take that personally? Or you blow up at the kids over something that was really actually pretty small. Where'd that come from? Are you feeling anxiety or stress continuously over long periods of time? We're just evaluating, how are we doing? Maybe what areas should we be looking at? How do we react if somebody does something simple like cut us off in traffic or, you know, not drive exactly how we think they should drive? I have a quick story of my own. Not too long ago, Katie bought some new doorstops at our house. And many of you guys know that I'm not the handiest person in the world. I usually try to save those jobs for Tom when he comes down, Katie's father. But I needed to get these doorstops installed. So I'm working on these doorstops, and it just wasn't quite going in there right. I had drilled the hole, and I was putting the little anchor thingy in there, and I'm trying to get it to fit, but the thread was not, it wasn't quite long enough, and I just couldn't quite get the thread on there, so I'm taking it out, putting it in, taking it out, but you can't do that very well on concrete walls. Like, you can only drill one hole. And so I'm messing with it, and I blow up. I just completely blow up. I get so frustrated, I'm just like, I can't do it anymore. I just lost it, you know, over this stupid little doorstep. And Katie's looking at me like, are you all right? And I'm like, no, I'm not right, you know, I'm losing it over this stupid doorstep. Or stop. And I'm just thinking, you know, wait a minute. Wow. Okay. Let's take a step back. What's going on here? Even over something simple like that, you know, if I was walking with the Spirit in that moment, how would I have responded? You know, the patience, where was that at? It was just a simple thing, but it pointed out something in that day, in that specific day, where I was walking, who I wasn't walking with at the moment. You know, this could be a reflection for us on how we're doing emotionally and physically. We're trying to get it right in the beginning, right? Right in the beginning before it grows into something that becomes uncontrollable. So you can know truth, but not be in the right place physically or emotionally to be able to act and behave how you wish. Luke 6:45 says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil person out of evil treasures bring forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. See, Paul teaches all about this also in Romans 8. He says, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. What we're filling ourselves up with causes an overflow, okay? But we can't fake it, right? We actually have to become that. It's not about doing that or trying to be better, but it's about becoming that truth. So just take a second to evaluate those three areas in your life. We're talking about our physical aspects. We're talking about our mind, our knowledge aspect, and we're talking about our emotional and spiritual aspect. I just want you to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit just right now. Which one of these areas has the Lord, probably for some time now already, been convicting you of, been telling you maybe you need to pay attention more to this area? It could be a little combination of three, but it may be specifically one that he's speaking to you about. Now, here's my warning. If you're already starting to create a to-do list, okay, be careful. Be careful. Because the Christian life, like I said, is about being and not about doing. So what does that mean? Is discipline a piece? Yes, of course, discipline is a piece. Okay, you got to be disciplined and do certain things. We know that. You got to read your Bible. You got to go to church. You got to do some of these things. But even discipline, okay, even discipline needs to be produced out of an intimate relationship with the Lord. It can, if it's produced by self, if discipline is produced by self, it's only going to lead to burnout. How many people have you known that started something? I'm going to do this, right? I'm going to really get it done this time. And then it lasts about a month. Why is that? Because that discipline is being produced by you, by me, not being produced through an intimate relationship with the Lord. It all has to stem out of that. And it really does need to be that simple. So here's my advice. My advice to myself, my advice to you, as we both work through this on a consistent everyday basis. And this is just a very, very practical advice, okay? Very practical advice. Focus on building intimacy with the Lord and then allowing that to overflow and then produce the fruit that you desire. So you know the area. Hopefully you identified something when you were thinking about those three areas in your life. Maybe you identified something that, yeah, the Lord's been speaking to me about this for a while now. He's been telling me I needed to spend more time with him. He's been telling me I needed to take care of my physical body. He's been telling me I needed to read more. Okay? Now, as you know that, invest intimately with the Lord. Get intimate with him and allow him to start to produce that discipline in you. Okay? Because as you try to do that on your own, it's just going to create burnout. You're not going to make it. We try that a lot, don't we? But it doesn't ever work. That's because we're producing it in and of ourselves. If we fill ourselves up with the Spirit will outflow. If we fill ourselves up with ourselves, we're going to outflow. And it's not going to be the result that we want. So as we think about freedom, you know, how does this relate to our school? How does this relate to freedom? Well, I think the school is an awesome opportunity to impact every one of those students and the people in our community in these three crucial aspects of their life. Think about the school with knowledge. Obviously, this is what a school is about, right? Math, reading, science, biblical knowledge, biblical truths of who God says they are, critical thinking, social skills, all sorts of knowledge that you just need to have. You need to have knowledge. You need to know what is truth. There's physical side in the school. We're providing nutrition, a safe environment, life balance, time management, physical needs being met. And then the spiritual. This is obviously our end goal. Cultivating an environment where they can walk with the Lord and have intimacy with the Lord. So that's why we're here at Freedom. That's why we do what we do, to try to guide people into a closer, more intimate relationship with the Lord. Those are families. Those are our students. Those are team members. Those are interns that come down. And that's why we exist, to try to do that. 2021 was no different. It looked a little different this year. The school wasn't open, but the goal stayed the same. And I think what God ended up doing with the relationships with the communities and things, that clearly God had a plan for this year. And we just needed to trust him in that. And so I just thank you guys again for the opportunity to share today. I did leave 5 or 10 minutes here for just a few questions to come out, whatever was on your mind. I know there's a lot I didn't talk about, but I wanted to give you guys just an opportunity to ask anything that you wanted to ask. So, shoot. Yes. Yeah, no problem. So, every year we have they have to have an eye evaluation under anesthesia. Eventually, this will be able to be moved into the office, but at their age, they can't sit for an hour with somebody prodding at their eyeballs. So that's done under anesthesia to check if they need to do any laser. It's very similar to like what a diabetic has, where the blood vessels want to curl in the backs of their eyes. They didn't have any, praise God, they did not have any need for laser this year. Max is actually in year 7 without needing laser, so we praise God for that. They did some cosmetic aligning for Derek this year. Max will have that next year. And then Max actually, because of some pressure issues that he's having in his poor vision eye, they had to do essentially like a cataract surgery where they remove his lens and then implant a new lens. And so so he's recovering from that still. So you can pray for us because we have a 7-year-old that's not allowed to run, jump, or ride bike, or play with his brother, or anything for 30 days. So it's that's going to be – I don't think I've ever seen him walk before this. Yeah, I think he pretty much either jumps or runs or skips or something like that, especially Max. So, yeah, that's a challenge. But that's where we're at. It was a very good report. Both surgeries were extremely effective. And we're very blessed the way the Lord has provided with that. What else? Okay. Yeah. He asked if the 7th grade was going to actually move up or it was that just a completely lost year. They actually are going to be moving up every single student, even though it was a completely lost year, yes. And in fact, because of their environment, they do not live in an environment like most of your children do, where they are receiving instruction at home all the time, just with board games and conversations with mom and dad and all sorts of activities. These kids really just go into complete atrophy, mental atrophy for an entire year. And so there was huge loss for them academically. We tried to help that the best that we could by going out there and doing individual tutoring sessions throughout the year with our Dominican staff and in English. But they were talking about like 1 hour a day that they were getting as we tried to move around and hit small little groups all day long and hit all 600 students. So they were getting some, but it clearly wasn't the 7 hours a day focused learning. But, yes, they are going to be moving them up, and we're just going to have to – we just got to hold back on the curriculum. So – I know there's lots of questions out there. Come on. Max has a question. You know what's going on over there, Max. Yeah. Okay. That did get completed. She asked about our camp and if the camp got completed out in the back woods area. It did get completed, and we were able to use that summer for several different camps. First through 6th grade, it would have been at the time, all went through a camp. And the oldest group actually did a 4-day camp out there. And it was really cool because we had a lot of people go out and share testimonies and all sorts of games. It was very focused on sharing the gospel, a lot of great conversations with kids, several decisions for Christ through that time period. So it was really, yeah, we're looking forward to getting back into being able to use that again. Judy. Yeah, she asked about Haiti and the effect on that. Many of you may be aware that the president of Haiti was assassinated just recently this week. And so, Haiti is connected to the Dominican Republic. They're on the same island. And and immigration is very much a problem for the Dominican, similar to the immigration issues that we have here with Mexico. Anytime you have two countries side by side that are not at the same economic level, it creates a lot of economic problems and problems with immigration. We clearly don't have a problem with immigration between us and Canada, but we do between Mexico and the United States because of the economic level. Well, Haiti is significantly lower economically than even the Dominican Republic. I still consider the Dominican Republic third world in most of its area, but Haiti is significantly worse. And so the corruption there is just tremendous. You couldn't even do what we're doing in Haiti. It would be completely impossible. There's just no opportunity to work there. And the situation there is just degrading every day. Gangs are completely in control. The government is completely out of control. And the ones that are involved on the wrong side. They're just in the streets burning down markets and trying to, it's complete chaos. I know the Dominican president, I was listening to a speech of him just 2 days ago. There is plan to build a wall there. They've shut down all the borders. So that could affect our population slightly. But most of the students that we work with, because they are mostly by descendant Haitian, live there full time. And their parents have lived there and their grandparents have lived there. So I don't see that affecting our population a whole lot. But we may not see the migrant group come. I don't know what's going to happen with that because there is a significant portion that migrates in every year. So we'll see. It will affect some, yes. Good question. Hal? I don't know exactly. I think we're sitting at like 42 left to be sponsored. We're doing really well. I think we... Okay, so we have a child sponsorship program that each student receives a sponsor, and that sponsor pays for everything from their transportation to their food to their supplies to teacher salaries for each student. And every single student has to have a sponsor. This is how we run our school. We're essentially doing what is impossible to do. We're running a school completely from top to bottom on only sponsorship dollars. So it's much different than other types of sponsorship programs that are out there. Those programs are providing help to get a kid to a school, but they're not providing the school. And so that's our sponsorship program that Hal was asking about. We've always done really well. The Lord has always really provided in that area. And I think we're down to like 40-ish students left to be sponsored. So if you have interest in those types of things, you can talk to us afterwards, or it's really easy to look up on our website. It is for freedom.com. There's information out on the desk if you have any interest in that. I know several people here do sponsor students, so you could ask information from them as well. $60 a month for the student. Yes. We are getting ready to add 90 more. So that number's going to spike here pretty soon as we get ready to start next year. Yeah. Yeah. Just as far as how that sponsorship works, every time you send a letter, you're going to get a picture back with them receiving that letter. That student, as they get older, will write you whenever they feel like it. And that's open. We send those back. You can write them whenever you feel like it. You can send down small packages, or you can bring them stuff down as well, meet their families, meet them. It's a really unique opportunity. I don't know of other sponsorship programs that are like that. The ones that I was personally involved with before moving to the Dominican were nothing like that. And so I think it's a really cool opportunity to impact one child's life really significantly. And we can't pray for all 600 students every day. We got 38 missionaries. We don't pray for every student each day. But their sponsor can. Their sponsor can lift them up in prayer weekly or daily. And that's important. It has an eternal impact. So we love our sponsorship program. We're very proud of it. And I think it's an awesome thing to get involved in personally. And I'm not biased at all. One hundred percent. We have no overhead costs. So, for example, like I'm a missionary and I raise my funds. Aletheia supports us. A couple other churches support us, and then individuals support us. But none of my money comes from sponsorship dollars. So we raise all of our money, all of our financial, campaigns are individually funded. So when we build a building, people give to the building. Or when we buy a bus, people give to a bus or to the general fund. So the sponsored program is literally only, and you can see it's very easy to count your dollars. There's bus transportation, teacher salaries, food, and then all the supplies. So, yeah, that $60 burnt, we stretched that very far. So all that goes to your student. Well, not directly to your student, but to the students. And you have a direct in impact with one. Little buddy back there got a question? When does it open? Well, we did just recently open. That's a good question. We did just recently open with half of our student body in the morning and half in the afternoon. I know I'm running out of time here. Half in the morning and half in the afternoon. And then at the end of July, we finish this school year. And then we hope that they give us permission to open up again in September, in the beginning of September. So we don't actually have firm dates on that yet. I'm going to end my questions there. Anything else that you guys want to know, we're going to stick around afterwards and talk. So please come up and ask me if you got any questions about sponsorship, since that was brought up several times. Feel free to talk. And I'm going to invite Caleb up and our new addition to the Freedom team as an intern, Caleb. Caleb did an awesome job. You guys should be very proud of him. An excellent example of being somebody that was just willing to do anything and do it with a joyful heart. And so we are very thankful to have Caleb on our team.